News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
8:07, 7 minutes after 8 o'clock, FM Talk 106.5. Dan and Sean Sullivan this week because Dalton's on vacation. Well-deserved vacation, right?
Absolutely. He's going to learn. This is his first family vacation, like a long family vacation, like a week long.
They didn't name a movie after it for the heck of it.
That is correct. He's about to learn this. So, you know, there's one thing. The newlywed couple, he and his lovely wife, going on vacations and enjoying time together. And then you add in children.
Sweaty baby.
Yes, and all the stuff you got to schlep to take the children anywhere, and then you can't go out to eat, and the baby's fussy. And enjoy it, Dalton. We'll see you back here soon, and it'll probably be your last family vacation.
He'll be back on Thursday.
Yeah, he'll be back tomorrow.
We've got Quinn Hillier on the line right now. Quinn, all things Quinn Hillier at quinnhillier.com. And how are you doing?
Doing fine, thanks. And breathing a lot easier now that the Saints actually, for once in the last 5 years, got lucky and won a game that they maybe didn't deserve to win. And that's got me on top of the world. Who dat?
Not Auburn lucky, but fairly lucky.
Auburn, okay. Also, the passing of Joe Morgan, I know you want to make a mention of that.
Yeah, look, when I was a kid growing up, I wanted to grow up to be Joe Morgan. He played my position. He was small like I was. He had a small glove like I was. And he went out and he performed day after day after day. He was a consummate professional, and he had old school integrity. He spoke up later on. He spoke up against steroids. He was one of the most exciting players to watch I've ever seen. Just this side of Willie Mays, maybe. And I think it's a shame he died of some neurological disease, I believe. And Joe Morgan, for those who were too young, you missed one heck of a ball player and one heck of a leader and one heck of a man.
Yep.
So
agree with that.
Sorry to hear that he's dead.
So let's wander up to Washington, D.C. in the hearings. And what did you see yesterday?
Well, I had reported, y'all might remember, several weeks ago that the left-wing interest groups were writing a script for the Democrats on the committee. And if those Democrats on the committee veered from that script by one iota, I missed it, because it was just like they were all puppets saying the exact same thing, exactly what the script said. It was all, oh, Obamacare, 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 or worse than that, health care. If you confirm Amy Coney Barrett, they said, you will lose your health care coverage, which is such utter sheer hogwash. Poppycock. I could get repetitive and redundant and reiterative and use lots of other words like hogwash and tommy rot and poppycock. It's BS.
Balderdash.
But every single Democrat, that was their line of attack. And I can explain what they're talking about and why it's so much BS.
Yeah, and I want to, because if people didn't see it yesterday, it's just, first of all, odd kind of seeing the setting of the chamber there with the separation and the way they had it set up in there for the media on the floor in the middle. And they had Democrat senators had photographs behind them, big, almost like we're at a court case. And you have a plaintiff's attorney with a picture of the injured party or whatever. They had pictures of these Americans. And this discussion of this person and this person, emotional argument, right? This person would lose health care. This person would lose their health care. No discussion, Quinn. I know I'm a stick in the mud and old school. No question, if you want to go there, of the constitutionality of ACA. It wasn't about that. It was about that person right there, Judge Barrett, is gonna sentence these people to death or bad health if she's confirmed.
Well, because she's a handmaid of the Lord, she is going to take cyanide tablets and force feed it to every single person with that doesn't follow her line, and so she's going to make everybody die. That's clearly what's going to happen.
It was, and like you said, it was a script, right? You heard that up and down the line.
It was a script up and down the line, and it's bogus. Look, here's what they're talking about. There is another case challenging the constitutionality of Obamacare that the court will hear, I believe it's November 10th or 11th. It's about a week after the election.
That's right.
And so they are saying if you put her on the court, she and at least four other justices are going to rule in such a way that makes unconstitutional the entire Affordable Care Act. Well, is that theoretically possible? Yes. Is it even remotely likely? No. Here's what it's about. When Justice Roberts saved Obamacare in 2012 with his weird ruling, he did it by ruling that it was a tax and that as a tax it was constitutional. So Congress, under the Republicans, turned around and zeroed out the individual mandate tax, and they set it at zero. So then some plaintiffs said, well, if the tax is now set at zero, a tax that brings in no money is not a tax at all.
Right.
And therefore, the individual mandate part of the law, they say, is unconstitutional. And the district court judge agreed with them, and the Fifth Circuit of Appeals agreed with them. But here's the thing. If you make that part of the law, the individual mandate, unconstitutional, using Justice Roberts' ruling, that doesn't necessarily mean that you invalidate the whole law anymore, because even though the Democrats originally claimed that the whole law would fall apart without the individual mandate, the fact of the matter is that with the mandate so-called tax, it was actually a penalty, set at zero for the last 3 years, the whole law hasn't fallen apart. So they have proven that the mandate is severable from the law, meaning you can throw out that part of the law and the rest of the edifice still stands.
Okay.
And so, to say that Amy Barrett and four other justices are going to throw out the whole law, even if they find that one part of it unconstitutional, strains credibility beyond a breaking point.
Right, Quinn.
Does that make sense?
It does, but let me, as I want to do, kind of stir this up a little bit. So, idealistically, that is correct and accurate. Pragmatically, I can argue, and then let me finish here with but I can argue pragmatically, you remove the penalty, that I agree is penalty, but the tax is zeroed out. Therefore, there's no way to compel those that need to be part of the system to, in other words, there's no way to compel the young people that don't use health insurance to get in to fund the people that are older that yeah. need it. So, pragmatically, it can be an undoing. Now, once again, let me circle back to the job, the way I see it, of the Supreme Court of the United States is not to decide whether this is good for Quinn Hillier, Sean Sullivan, Jane or Joe Smith in America. It's to decide whether something is constitutional. But that's not the discussion that's happening with those senators. They are on this pragmatic argument, which is not, shouldn't, and is not the province of the Supreme Court.
Bingo. You made my next points better than I would have been able to make them.
I knew Sean was going to say something smart. I knew
did.
It.
Look, originally it really was thought that the whole law would fall apart without the individual mandate, but because we've had 3 years without the individual mandate and the law hasn't fallen apart, that sort of kills that argument as a practical matter. But what you said is even more important.
Hmm.
They are literally saying she wants to take away your health care, which of course is bogus, but they're acting as if it is a policy preference of hers that matters.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just not how judges or justices are supposed to act, and there's no evidence anywhere in her history as a judge or as a law professor to show that that's how she would act.
Yeah.
And so her policy preference means nothing. the idea that that all of Obamacare, as bad a law as it is, you do need to have something to replace it. The idea that the whole thing is going down on November 10th is, again, it's just hogwash. And the thought that you've got four other justices that are going to do the same thing is bizarre, because if you look at the conservative justices, several of them have argued that it is not up to the Supreme Court to decide what is severable and what is not. And so, therefore, they are unlikely to say that, well, because this is, because of bizarre reason X, Y, and Z, we're going to rule that this thing is not severable from the rest. Usually, if something is unconstitutional, you rule that thing unconstitutional. You don't throw out the whole edifice with it. That's what conservative justices do. So this isn't going to happen. Their attack line is bogus, and they should be ashamed of themselves.
Coming right back, we'll pick up this conversation some more with Quinn Hillier.
All right. FM Talk 106.5, Dan Brennan, Sean Sullivan, and Quinn Hillier as well on FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings. FM Talk 106.5. Hey, from Dan Brennan and Morgan Stanley values long-term relationships. They value that in their clients, and Five Rivers Group at Morgan Stanley here in Mobile know that building a relationship begins with getting to know each client. Everyone has got different goals, from planning for retirement to saving for a child's education. Five Rivers Group can create personal investment strategies to help you meet your retirement, education, and wealth transfer and other financial needs. Just schedule an appointment. Call Hunt Griffith at he's the financial advisor at 251-470-1092. Hunt Griffith at 251-470-1092. Morgan Stanley Smith Barney LLC, member SIPC.
All right, return to our conversation with Quinn Hillier from QuinnHillier.com, also the author of the Mad Jones Trilogy. If somebody has yet to stumble upon this, tell them, what's the Wikipedia paragraph here on Mad Jones?
Mad Jones, it's satire and modern media politics and religion, meaning it's a novel that's supposed to make you laugh, but it's supposed to have a good story, and it should give some insights into what makes all this modern media political world tick. Anyway, I hope you'll like it. And meanwhile, as for the little thing you just did, I'm a big Hunt Griffith fan.
Oh, very good.
I'm a fan of his dad's, so it all works together here.
He's a character.
Yes, it's Quinn. I want to. You can get that the trilogy over at Amazon. I wrote a note to myself as I went to break, so I didn't forget this. I said something about this yesterday on the Midday Show, that I wonder if the fear is, and I would love to hear a Republican senator point this out, the fear is for Democrats not of Judge Barrett, but of the Constitution when it comes to, where the super Congress they believe this SCOTUS is. That it's not a fear specifically of a justice, it's a justice that will rule constitutionally.
Well, that's exactly it, because they don't really like the Constitution as written, and B, they think that it gets in the way of their so-called progressive schemes or plans. And so anybody that is going to stick to the Constitution as written gets in their way.
Yep.
And so they don't like it. And that's exactly what they're afraid of. And if you listen to them, they will say, they will criticize the Constitution, blah, 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 blah. Well, the Constitution does provide for a way for it to change. It's called an amendment. We have 27 of them. But the Democrats don't want to bother amending the Constitution. They just want to get five judges on the court that'll change the meaning to whatever they want it to be by fiat.
Yes.
That's not how we think it should work.
Right. And the you know, troubling nature of the legislative branch, which by the genius design of the founders moves slowly and is very close to the people with the cycle there for the House and re-election. So you can't get it done there. So you need to get it done through this. I mean, to me, it's the judicial branch. For a lot on the left, it's a quasi-legislative branch of the Supreme Court. And listen, there are a lot of things that the court has done that have overturned things that conservatives have liked in the past, and I'm going to go decades ago, that were based on the Constitution. Thurgood Marshall was talking about the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
And there are great improvements to our republic, but it's determined by the Constitution. So I wish Democrats would come out and put their pictures up and say, really, it's not Amy Coney Barrett that they're worried about. It's the Constitution.
Well, exactly. I mean, they would prefer people on there like Elena Kagan, who says that rights are not pre-existing government, but that, for instance, the First Amendment right to free speech is something, and I quote, that government doles out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
The government is the giver of the rights.
Your ability to speak on the radio is not your right. It is a privilege doled out by government, according to Justice Elena Kagan.
Well, thank you.
Those are the justices that the left wants.
That should scare the flip-flops off of everybody. I mean, that is not liberal. That is not conservative. That is if something is given to you by government, then government can just as easily take that inherent right away.
Exactly. And they believe that government is the be-all and end-all, and that what this entity called the government, it is as if it is its own entity of and in and of itself, rather than that it is an instrument of the people, and that the people have rights that pre-exist the government. They don't believe that. And it is scary. So, First Amendment right to free speech, Second Amendment right to bear arms, Fifth Amendment right to not have your property seized by government for other private developers, right on down the list. They don't think that those rights are in and of themselves rights that belong to us as human beings.
You distilled it perfectly, Quinn. As always, we appreciate your time.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Quinn Hillier and quinnhillier.com, where you can read all things Quinn Hillier, his stuff from the Washington Examiner as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Check him out there. Just Google him or find him on Twitter at Quinn Hillier.
Dan and Sean and news straight ahead on FM Talk 106.5 and open up the phone lines and raising your voice, 343-0106.
Yes.
There we go.
Yeah. Right, it's 835 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. Time to check in with Louie Arata at McConnell Automotive. What's up, Louie?
Good morning, guys. How are y'all?
Man, I'm all right, and I want to hear what's happening on the lot. Let's talk about, you had some rebates yesterday that raised some eyebrows. Let's talk about that.
That's right, $6,000 on those AT4s and all those X31s, which is the formerly Z71 pickup truck. Got some great deals going on those. Don't forget, got the new Yukon sitting there. And Sean, this is dear to your and my heart. Hunt season right around the corner.
Mm-hmm.
We've got some used Z71 sitting out there, four-wheel drive pickup trucks. Got a couple of three-quarter ton diesels in. You know, people need those for pulling up tractors and planting and everything. So, y'all, check those out online at McConnellAutomotive.com or give us a call at 251-476-4141.
Thank you, Louie.
Thank you.
All right. Louie Arata checking in from McCullough Automotive, just east of 65 on Dolphin Street.
You know, you were talking about Thurgood Marshall
mm-hmm.
and the way that as a justice.
This is what Dan had to listen to during the news break.
Yeah,
for
but
me.
But it was interesting because you remind me of things that I forgot in class, you know. but you've retained them, and Thurgood Marshall, for as liberal a justice as he was,
constitutionalist,
and that makes all the difference.
In the arguments, whether Plessy versus Ferguson or others, the argument that Justice Marshall would make during those years in the 60s, they were constitutional arguments about how you couldn't treat Americans differently, even the separate but equal stuff. It wasn't really separate but equal. And he was using the definition of the Constitution to do that. That is, once again, people say, well, constitutionalist, that means conservative. It doesn't, because there are things that Republicans want and conservatives want that aren't constitutional. And that's where I get crosswise with folks sometimes. But what the Democrats yesterday, they're using to burn an effigy, Judge Barrett, when really what they fear is what the Constitution says and having somebody rule on that. And there will be, there are conservatives that are upset about decisions that I think Roberts, you know, with the swing vote there on the constitutionality of having that tax, which really was a penalty.
2012.
That's a decision that I do not like, didn't disagree. But at the same time, it's not because I don't want people to have health insurance. It's not because I don't want people with pre-existing conditions to have health insurance. It's because then the legislative branch, or they should amend something if they believe that. It's the Supreme Court should rule on something's constitutionality. You get a lot of text from this. Red said, the Constitution mostly states what the government shall not do. Well said, Red. And that's one of the decisions, but he's talking about the general welfare clause that does start a lot of this discussion and opens up, some people think, the province of what the scope of the judicial branch should be. And Grant saying here, you're a damn American. Seriously, the Constitution applies to all of us. And that's what they don't understand. It's a, you know, it's a government of the people, for the people, by the people,
The government doesn't do for us as much as we tell the government. Okay,
we need y'all.
We've set you up.
We hired a contractor.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're in charge of you.
Yes, we hired a contractor to do this because we believe that these things need to be done for our nation. And now that has grown and grown and grown, and people can argue the expansion of government, how many things they should be in, but that's something that can be fought in the legislative branch, and that's the beauty of our system. You elect people that have those beliefs, and they battle it out, and they battle it out now and then sit on their laurels in Washington. But that's how the system works, where that change and that push and that flow and that change of value set or whatever that is at home in the legislative branch. You never hear me saying, you know, that, oh, the legislative branch shouldn't be talking about this, that, or the other. They have the right, as determined, to talk about all these things. But the judicial branch and the head of that in the Supreme Court, their job is to tasked with setting a baseline. That baseline is the Constitution. So as things come into the legislative branch and happen and get challenged, they are the check to make sure we stay on the baseline of this great republic. And that's one of the things that's lost, and that's one of the places where I clash with liberal folks. I've clashed with conservative folks in the past. That's just, you know, come at me.
You got your own lane.
Tell me where that's wrong. We open up the phone lines at 343-0106.
Ricky is on the line. Hello, Ricky.
Good morning, guys. Look, I got the bombshell for October. October surprise is Benghazi and General Flynn. They know now. General Flynn has all the evidence. You know, we give him Iran airmailed him $152 billion on pallets. We now know what that was for. That was hush money because Iran had videotapes of the real Osama bin Laden, how the whole thing was staged for him to be killed. They also had the evidence of the SEAL Team 6 that was shot down after the fact because they wanted all witnesses to be destroyed in the evidence. But anyway, Benghazi and General Flynn is the bombshell that's fixing to come out. Improved. They have evidence, they have video, they have recording, they have it all against how Obama and Ben, Joe Biden and Hillary Clinton destroyed Benghazi because of the evidence that they knew that they were going to bring against all this. That's why they were wiped out. But anyway,
Back up for a second. So Flynn is going to come out with information sometime before the election, and that information is going to he's going to show what?
It's going to show that Iran had Bin Laden the whole time.
Okay, so Iran. Okay, let me slow down so I can catch up. I'm not as quick. So Iran had captured him, or was he in Iran?
Osama bin Laden was worked for the federal agents in Al Qaeda. He was on our payroll. That's proven fact. He went to Iran.
He worked for CIA.
He worked for CIA. Osama bin Laden did.
I'll be darned.
Brendan's tied to all this too. All this was orchestrated. And how it came down is General Flynn, the reason why they want to knock him out so bad, he knows all of it. They got all the information.
So what comes out? Does it come out like a document, like a pay stub from the CIA to bin Laden? Or do we see video of bin Laden along with...
Well, the fathers of the guy of SEAL Team 6 are pushing it. They're the ones that have the evidence. They're the ones that's pushing it because they're the ones that lost their sons and whatever in that military operation. But it's coming out from the people that worked, that handled the money for Obama, the people that knew about the whole deal. Flynn knew it all. That's why they had.
So when do we get? When does this bombshell drop?
Yeah,
when do we get this?
We're running out of time, Ricky.
It's on YouTube now. TED Talks is where the SEAL Team 6 fathers, that TED Talk they do on YouTube. That's the one they just did. He's doing videos of it, and it's like I said, if you put in the SEAL Team. Lost my train of thought. But anyway,
I'll tell you what, catch
YouTube.
Up and get they back
have,
with us.
They have the evidence. They have the people that worked at the time that was handling them.
Ricky, do this. When that video comes out, then you call me, and or when Flynn starts dropping these bombshells, you call me back, and we'll talk about it then when I have something to look at. All right? Thank you, Ricky. You're not allowed to talk, are you?
I'm not allowed to talk.
You're not allowed to talk.
No.
Okay. All right. So we'll go right past.
Yeah, no. But... And that's a different era.
I know.
He's an interesting guy. I would really love to see the YouTube that he's talking about, or the TED Talk, or whatever. But there's
YouTube videos of a lot of stuff out there.
I'd like to look at it to judge it.
I want to see the evidence. Listen, as crazy as the world is, I'll sit back and see the evidence. Here's the difference, though. I don't jump on these theories until I see something concrete. And because you know how many floated theories have come across these airwaves on things that have not borne fruit?
A million and a half?
Yes, or maybe a little more. But some of the things Ricky's saying are absolutely accurate. I mean, I remember losing my mind when we sent pallets full of money to Iran. They said that was money that was seized after the fall of the Shah. Remember that we were returned, that we
had
seized
it.
Why we returned that? Just to get the Iranians to agree not to make a nuke. I guess that was the plan as of late. That was a bad deal. President Trump said it, when he was candidate Trump, and a lot of people agreed with him.
It was
Flynn and
deal.
Benghazi and Osama bin Laden on the payroll for CIA. We'll have to look at that. I was unaware.
Yeah, that's a little tough to swallow, but... Okay, it's 8:46 FM Talk 106.5. Dan Brennan and Sean Sullivan, and more of your calls at 343-0106 on the way.
Trey.
It is 8:51 FM Talk 106.5, turning up your voice at 343-0106. Also, turning up your voice, kind of, sort of, on the text line.
Mm-hmm.
Possibly Ricky is chiming in. And I don't think I'm going to read what it says.
Part of this is, though, like Grant had said earlier, so CIA did fund bin Laden in Afghanistan to fight the Russians. Yeah, so, I mean, if you would have watched Charlie Wilson's War movie, you'd see more about that. But, of course, that is, the Afghans have, they were obviously, the Mujahideen was in war against the Russians, and we were at war against the Russians, so we were helping the Mujahideen to fight the Russians.
And the Russians found the Afghans don't just go away.
No, they do not. They do not. And so Yes, in a circuitous way. Yes, is there a connection there with the CIA? But I'm just waiting. Ricky may be right. He may be. I'm waiting to see more evidence on this.
Let's go to the phone lines, and I think we've got Marissa on the line. Hello, Marissa.
Hello.
How can we help you today?
Oh, I was listening to you about the confirmation hearing, and mm-hmm. I watched the whole opening, all the opening arguments yesterday, and it just felt to me like the Democrats were just using it as a political platform. They know the Senate has the votes. They didn't really have any, they had nothing to really disparage Judge Barrett, so they tried to scare the American people into thinking that, oh, she's going to take away their health care, she's going to take away women's rights, and this is all President Trump, this is all Republicans, so you need to vote Democrat.
Right.
You need to get these people out. And that, I mean, all of their opening statements seem to be, they were just trying to use it to speak to anybody that's watching. And I thought their arguments, like you said, I mean, they're telling these stories, and I think that there's a lot of people that don't understand what the Supreme Court does and their purpose, and so I just...
Yeah, I think you're... I agree, Marissa. I agree with you.
...to get people to change.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, and using the... I mean, if it wasn't just the words, it's the visual of those big glossy pictures, the way a plaintiff's attorney would do it in a mm-hmm. trial that has them there to so people react emotionally to the picture. I get what they were doing. I'm just pointing out, like you did, Marissa, why it's not right. It's not true. It's not what those confirmation hearings are about. But that's not going to stop. Listen, and is there a chance that if it was flipped around, would Republicans probably maybe at some time do the same thing? And if they did, I'd call them out too.
Mm-hmm. I'm surprised they didn't have like an intersection with a dog in the middle of it and a bang where the accident happened. They had everything else.
It's once again the fear, I believe, is not of the individual justices that President Trump appoints. It is their the fear is the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have somebody that is adherent to the Constitution and saying, well, it only says this, it only says that, we're not going to go into what I feel or I want it to say, it's going to be these things. That's the fear of the Democrats, and that's going to be lumped on. We'll see how it happens here with Judge Barrett, because I think it's more of a minefield for Democrats, but you saw they went to the mattresses hard on Kavanaugh, you know? And so Justice Kavanaugh now, and one of the fears they have too is if Barrett is confirmed, then the center of the court is not John Roberts anymore. The center of the court becomes Brett Kavanaugh. That's where the center of the court is, and that's a shift that is going to take a long time. And so for them to say they're not going to pack the courts, even though that would be, if you believe in the Supreme Court being this super Congress, and that's where you can get your want, then you're going to pack, because there's no, it's just a, they could make the court more than 9 members.
How long has it been 9 members?
How many years? 70 years, we have to look, maybe since the founding, but I think they added to it at one point. I have to go back and look at that. Something tells me they added to it, but it's been 5 decades, 6 decades, okay, maybe, or more than that, if it hasn't always been 9. So yeah, the idea is, if you pack the court, you could have, it could look like the House of Representatives. You could have all these decisions could be, you know, 196 to, I mean, yes. But at that point, when you start doing that, what are you trying to do? You're trying to legislate. You're creating a legislature. That is not the job of the top of the judicial branch.
Mm-hmm.
We have these stools of the these legs of the stool in our system for a reason. Checks and balances are a reason. They are also defined. Their jobs are defined differently. And I'll say a lot of the blame goes on the legislature for eschewing their responsibilities,
sure,
and moving it on to the judicial branch. It's because it's easier to do. I tell you you heard me talking about when Jeff Sessions was Attorney General, and I told folks that wanted to have marijuana legalized, I said, he's your best friend. And they said, yeah, poppycock, balderdash. I said, no, because he's going to enforce the laws, that the federal law that says marijuana is illegal. Now he's going to come down on these states that are doing this and making money and all that. Now it's going to force the legislature to talk about changing that law and making it not illegal federally. And then you'll have more states do it. But when they can have their cake and eat it too, they can sit in Washington and pontificate about that they're not for drugs or whatever, and their states openly in violation of federal law out mm-hmm. there. You're not doing your job as a legislative branch because they don't want to get in that hard argument. Well, guess what? If you start shutting down the Colorados of the world and all the other Washington State, California, I mean, it's Nevada, I don't know. A lot of states have legalized marijuana. Then they will start screaming to their representatives, and then something would be done.
1869 went from 7 to 9.
There you go.
So that was 100 and whatever years ago.
Yes. It seems like it was just yesterday.
I can remember that vote like it was nothing.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. I mean, that was my sophomore year.
So, 858 FM Talk 106.5. We've got the Jeff Poor Show on the way. Jeff's got a very interesting guest in the 10 o'clock hour.
Right. So, on the discussion yesterday about this poll, this Auburn University of Montgomery poll, that showed 75% of those polled agreed with Governor Ivey's mask mandate. And that, with a lot of other questions in the mix. Well, that pollster, David Hughes, that we talked about yesterday, who was on Capital Journal Friday, is Jeff's guest starting off the 10 o'clock hour. So, that's coming up in the second hour. The Jeff Poor Show, Dan Gaynor from the Media Research Center in his first hour. Jeff Poor, take us away, coming up next.